Good afternoon and welcome to those in attendance. I'm going to call this hearing to order, August 22nd at 1:30 p.m. Case number LU17274998 LDS. And my name is Hella Rohde, and I am the hearings officer in this case. And I have a fairly lengthy introduction to do before we get started, but it will hopefully help guide the process. First of all, I'm a neutral decision maker. I'm employed by the auditor's office and not by the Bureau of Development Services, so I do not work for the Bureau of Development Services. My job is to conduct public hearings and make decisions based on land use cases and other matters that involve the Portland City Code. In making my decision, I have to apply the city's existing laws. I'm not authorized to change or alter the law. If you think the law should be changed, you may work with Development Services and others within the city to make that happen. However, the state law of Oregon requires that I use the law that existed when the application was filed, which I believe was in November of last year. As a hearings officer, again, I'm unbiased, and I believe I'm unbiased in this particular appeal. I have not had any contact with any of the parties. I don't know any of the parties or any of the people in the audience. So you have the right, if you want to challenge my impartiality, and if you choose to do so, you can do that when you testify. And that way it will get on the record because you will testify via microphone. So the process is that we will allow the BDS staff member to summarize the staff report. And that's available to you. Did you all get that? It's an important document to have. It's on the table back there. It's important for various reasons. One is it sets forth the criteria that have to be met by the applicant. And two is it has the BDS staff recommendations. And three, it has the case number on it. So the case number you'll see at the top of the staff report, and that is the number that you will use if you want to listen to the hearing online. So in 3 or 4 days, this hearing will be posted via our website online, and you can listen to the hearing if you choose to do so. So after the BDS representative gives the summary of the staff report, then I will give I'll have the applicant and those who are here in favor of the applicant testify. And then after that, those who are opposed. And then after that, the staff and the applicant can respond to any testimony of the opposition. And if during that time they present any new evidence, then everyone will get a chance to respond to that new evidence. Then I will close the public portion of the hearing. There is the opportunity to keep the record open if anyone requests it, and we can discuss that if and when someone has a need to keep the record open or desires the record to be open, to be kept open after the hearing for up to 7 days. And if someone does request that, I will discuss that at the end of the hearing. So that may be one reason to listen to that portion of the hearing later on, just to find out what the agreed upon dates are. All right, so there's some rules. Any person with an interest in the application may offer oral or written testimony. Please only speak when I identify you for that purpose. Your testimony has to be relevant to the code standards for the application as set out in the staff report. The code standards are the key to my decision. If this application complies with the applicable approval criteria or can comply subject to conditions, then I must approve the application subject to conditions. If it does not and cannot comply, then I must deny it. So everyone who testifies should state their name and address for the record and spell their full name and speak into the microphone. Anyone who testifies or presents written evidence will receive a copy of the decision. So it's important that you present your name and address. Please don't repeat testimony that's been offered already by yourself or by someone else. I can refer to the recording if I need to, and repetitious testimony just takes extra time and doesn't necessarily make the case stronger or more persuasive. As you probably know, my decisions are subject to appeal to the City Council. However, it is very important that you make your best case here in order to preserve all of your rights to appeal. Generally, not 100%, but generally the City Council will decide the appeal based only on the evidence in the record of this hearing. To preserve your right to appeal, you or someone representing you must testify orally or in writing before the close of the public record. And the close of the public record might be today and it might be later. That's a good issue to keep an eye on. In order to raise an issue on appeal, someone must have raised that issue before me and raised it with enough specificity that I can respond to it, as can the other people here today. If you have any issues with regard to constitutionality of the proposed conditions of approval, you need to raise those today before the close of the record, or if the record is extended within that extension time. All right, as I mentioned, the hearing is being recorded and the recording will be available in 3 to 4 days, and you will need the case number in order to access it. You're also welcome to come by here and review the hard copy of the file during our business hours, which is basically from 8:30 to 12 and 1 to 4:30 Monday through Friday. We are closed during the lunch hour. All right, so we will go ahead and proceed with the applicant. No, excuse me, the PDS staff, my bad, I'm sorry. And would you state your full name for the record, please?
Sure. My name is Diane Hale, and I'm the staff planner for the Bureau of Development Services assigned to the case.
Okay. Ms. Hale, are you ready to proceed?
Yeah.
Okay, go ahead.
Thank you. This is the staff's summary presentation for LU17-274998. The proposal is for a subdivision to create 20 lots for detached single-family housing with a new street and a new pedestrian connection. The site is located in the R3 zone, that's multi-dwelling residential 3000. There is an airport landing overlay which has no effect on residential development, therefore does not impact this proposal. There's also a Portland International Airport noise overlay, which will require that a noise disclosure statement be recorded against the lots at the time of development so that future owners are aware of potential noise impacts from airport operations. Here's an aerial photo of the site and the surrounding vicinity. The area generally surrounding the site is zoned residential, a mix of single dwelling and multi-dwelling development. To the north of the site, the area is zoned for industrial development. Here are some photos of the site. This is Northeast Sandy Boulevard looking west. The site is to your left. Here's Northeast Sandy Boulevard looking east, and the site is to your right. This is taken from the site looking north towards Northeast Sandy. As you can see, many of the manufactured homes have been removed from the site already. This photo is also taken from the site looking south towards Northeast Alton Street. You can see the house there is a house in one of the subdivisions off of Alton. So that's off-site.
The house at the end there is off-site? The end of that photo?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, that kind of gives you a visual to where Alton, Northeast Alton, comes in just south of the site. This is just one more photo showing kind of the existing condition on the site. The proposal can be approved if it complies with the approval criteria found in section 33.660.120, approval criteria for land divisions in open space and residential zones. The applicant is proposing 20 lots for detached housing. The minimum density for the site is 19 units, and the maximum density is 23 units, so the proposal is within the density allowances. All of the proposed lots meet the lot area and dimensional requirements for the R3 zone. Lots will range from 3,031 to 5,889 square feet. The tree preservation regulations of 33.630 apply to the site. The arborist identified trees on the site that are nuisance species and dead, dying, or dangerous, which are exempt from the regulations. After subtracting those trees, there are 31 regulated trees on the site. The tree preservation approval criteria prioritize trees over 20 inches in diameter and native species. The applicant is proposing to preserve 9 trees, 5 of which are over 20 inches and native species. The preservation plan does not meet one of the preservation standards in the zoning code. Staff found that the applicant maximized tree preservation on the site, given the need for reasonable development and installation of streets and utilities. Therefore, mitigation in this case is reasonable. The trees that are proposed for preservation are highlighted with those red circles. Although it's pretty small, I recognize that. The applicant proposes mitigation based on option 3 of the preservation standards, which would require 50% of the trees over 20 inches and 30% of the total tree diameter on the site be preserved. In order to meet the standard, the applicant would have had to preserve 4 additional large trees. The applicant proposes mitigation at a rate of 5 replacement trees for each of the 4 trees removed beyond the standard. At the time of development, the lots will have to meet the tree density or tree planting requirements of Title 11. Given those planting requirements and the existing trees on the site that will be preserved, there is no additional room on the sites for mitigation planting for tree removal.
So the red circles are the ones that are going to be saved?
Correct.
Okay.
Uh-huh. Since there's no additional room for mitigation planting, payment into the tree fund is appropriate in this case. At 2 inches per tree and 5 replacement trees for each of the 4 trees removed, the applicant will be required to make a payment for 40 inches to the tree fund. As part of the preservation proposal, the applicant proposed that a contract arborist be on site when excavation is occurring in close proximity to the large trees to be preserved, which are trees 20 inches in diameter or greater. And that is that contract arborist would be required to be on site when excavation is occurring in close proximity to those trees. The arborist also recommended special measures be taken for tree removal within the root protection zone of the trees to be preserved in the northeast corner of the site, up here.
So when you mention the contract arborist, who is that?
That would be determined at the time of the building permit. What happens is a condition of approval is applied, and then at the time of permit, Bureau of Development staff would enforce that condition and require a contract be provided with the building permit application that specifies specifically what is required, and that then has to match back to the condition of approval that would be included in this land use review.
Thank you.
Some of the structures to be removed or demolished on the site are located within the root protection zones of trees to be preserved. Prior to final plat approval, the applicant will be required to submit additional recommendations prepared by the arborist to address this potential disturbance. The applicant submitted a clearing and grading plan that shows the proposed clearing and grading for the site. The plan shows minimal changes to existing contours and enough room to maneuver to construct the street and install utilities. The limits of disturbance also allow for removal of the manufactured homes and demolition of other structures on the site. Grading is not proposed within the root protection zones of the trees to be preserved. A final clearing and grading plan that is in substantial conformance with this preliminary plan and also shows stockpile areas must be submitted prior to final plat approval with either a site development or a zoning permit. And partly that's also required to ensure that that tree protection fencing is in place before ground disturbing activities happen. All of the existing structures on the site will be removed prior to final plat approval. Demolition permits are required as a condition for structures over 200 square feet, except manufactured homes. Manufactured homes can be removed without a demolition permit. The existing septic systems or cesspools will be decommissioned during demolition, also as a condition of approval. Some of the structures, as I mentioned previously, are located within the RPZs of trees to be preserved. Again, the arborist recommendations for any special construction measures to take to ensure the health of those trees during demolition or removal of the manufactured homes will be required before the demolition permits can be issued or any grading work could occur. Transportation impacts. The applicant submitted a professional transportation impact study. It found that the individual factors of the transportation impacts criteria are satisfied. Bureau of Transportation staff reviewed the study and agreed with the findings. Parking will be provided on each lot with the new development, and on-street parking will be available on both sides of the new streets. The frontage improvements along Northeast Sandy Boulevard will include a new sidewalk, and the new sidewalk to be installed with the new street and with the pedestrian connection on the site will increase pedestrian movement in the area. The site is served by transit. There will be sufficient vehicle access and loading, and nearby intersections will continue to operate within city standards. Water and sanitary sewer mains are available in Northeast Sandy Boulevard. New water and sewer mains will be extended through the site in the new street to serve the new lots. The applicant has proposed individual dry wells to treat the stormwater on the individual lots. BES has reviewed and agrees with the applicant's proposal. For the new public street, stormwater will be directed to a public sedimentation sump system. For the pedestrian connection, stormwater will shed to a landscaped area or a gravel strip. BES has provided concept approval of the public works permits associated with the new streets. The applicant has proposed infiltration swales for the stormwater management method for Northeast Sandy, which will be reviewed by ODOT, the Oregon Department of Transportation, prior to building permit approval. The Department of Transportation has reviewing and permitting authority in Northeast Sandy. For connectivity and other rights-of-way issues, the site currently does not meet the spacing goals for through streets and pedestrian connections. The approval criteria generally require streets no more than 530 feet apart and pedestrian connections no more than 330 feet apart. You can see in the zone map, that's why I have this image here, is to kind of display the area connectivity. The applicant proposed a new street to be installed in a north-south orientation. A new pedestrian connection will be extended from the new street to the east lot line of the site. The site to the east, here, is further dividable. And it is anticipated that when that site redevelops, the pedestrian connection will continue through that adjacent site to connect to Northeast 152nd Avenue, kind of increasing connectivity in the area. Staff looked at connecting to the west. Let me go back. Here you can see this is the new public street. This is the proposed pedestrian connection. As you can see, there's no continuation of that pedestrian connection over here. Staff looked at continuing the pedestrian connection to the west and determined that it is not appropriate or practicable in this case to establish a connection in that direction. Some of the lots to the west are further dividable, but they're located at the north of the site near Northeast Sandy up here, where a connection wouldn't be desired because of its proximity to Northeast Sandy. And at the south end of the site, where you can see the site abuts Northeast Alton, we contemplated a connection there, but there's not really any kind of a linear frontage that occurs at that location. It's really just a point. The site abuts Alton for a point rather than linear. So there's no room or feasibility to establish a connection at that point either.
And so that's because of the topography of Alton, or?
That also makes it a little bit different, but no, specifically, I don't have this on the presentation, but it is part of the staff report, and I could hand it to you if that's appropriate.
You can put it in the box over here. Okay. Okay, and sorry to be repetitious, but can you tell me again why a pedestrian connection in the southwest corner would not,
right here?
Yes,
because the site in this corner, although it looks like there is some distance that the site abuts that right of way to the south, in actuality there's not, and the applicant provided a surveyor's diagram and statement that was stamped to verify that, because staff had the same question.
Okay, so there's no public right-of-way that the pedestrian connection can attach to?
Correct.
I see, okay. Thank you.
Uh-huh. That is the diagram that was provided by the surveyor to kind of demonstrate that there's no actual adjacency.
So the picture makes it look like there's a little bit, but there really isn't.
Correct.
Right, okay.
Yeah, thank you.
Mm-hmm. That was official.
With it.
Okay.
All right.
Thank you.
The new street and pedestrian connection will be installed to city standards. The new street will include a sidewalk, a planter strip, on-street parking on both sides of the street. The pedestrian connection will include a sidewalk and buffer areas. The new rights-of-ways have been reviewed through Public Works and have received 30% concept approval. The frontage improvements on Northeast Sandy Boulevard will include a sidewalk and stormwater swales. They will be reviewed by the Oregon Department of Transportation, and 100% approval of those improvements will be required prior to building permit approval. All right-of-way dedications will be required to be completed prior to final plat approval. In terms of public comments, I received no comments from the Neighborhood Association or residents or property owners that received the notice of public hearing. The Port of Portland did submit a comment just noting the requirement for the noise disclosure statement to be recorded against the future lots at the time of development. And I confirmed for them that that will happen, and it is noted at a couple of different points in the staff report. That's not listed as a condition of approval because it is a requirement of the zoning code that will be applied to proposed development regardless of whether there was a land use review at the site or not.
What did you say, regardless of whether there was a what?
A land use review.
Oh, okay. Sorry.
To conclude, the staff recommendation is approval of a preliminary plan for 20-lot subdivision that will result in 20 lots for detached houses. Recommended conditions of approval include right-of-way dedication and improvements, final clearing and grading plan, extensions of the public water and sanitary sewer mains onto the site in the new street, tree preservation, a mitigation payment for tree removal, Fire Bureau requirements, including sprinklers in the future development per a fire code appeal 18102. And I didn't cover that specifically, but the fire code appeal was addressing the size of the cul-de-sac, mm-hmm. although the size of the cul-de-sac met the requirements for 30% concept approval. The Fire Bureau requires sprinklers in the development to be able to approve that particular size of cul-de-sac. Demolition permits for the structures will be required, and supplemental tree protection measures will be required to address that potential disturbance prior to final plat approval, and septic system and cesspool decommissioning will be conditioned as well. That concludes the staff presentation.
Thank you. Thanks. All right. So the applicant or the applicant's representative?
Nothing to add?
Okay. I'm just going to put on the record that the applicant and the applicant's representatives are here, but they have nothing to add to the report by the Bureau of Development staff. All right. Is anybody opposed and would like to come forward? Anybody here who would like to add anything to the record? All right. And do you also, applicant, an applicant's representative, waive your right to oral argument?
We do.
Okay, that was a yes. And may I have your name just for the record?
This is Chet Antonsen, A-N-T-O-N-S-E-N, mailing address 62765 Powell Butte Highway, Bend, Oregon, 97701.
Thank you. Okay. And nobody in the room is requesting to keep the record open. Is that correct?
Correct.
Okay. That was a yes also. Correct. And nobody has any objection to closing the record at this time. Is that correct?
That?
No one has any objection to closing the record at this time?
We do not have any objection to closing the record.
Okay, that was also a yes. No objection to closing the record. All right, the record is closed. It's approximately 2 p.m. and the hearing is completed. Thank you.
Thank you.
Oh, I'm sorry. There was one thing I wanted to point out on page 8. There's a spot where it says east-west, and I think it should say north-south.
Oh.
Page 8 of the staff report?
Yes. Section I, solar access. It says the proposed lots are oriented to an east-west street. Should that be north-south?
One will be on the northwest corner of the street.
Yes, correct. Thank you.
Okay. And then I had one other brief question, and my apologies. On diagram C2, there's some circles with a little U in them. What does that stand for? It's not on the legend.
I believe that those are the proposed locations, conceptual locations of the dry wells.
Dry wells?
Mm.
Oh, okay. For the stormwater.
U, does that?
Yeah.
Okay, that was confirmed. All right, and thank you. Sorry again. And so we'll officially close the record now at 2:05.
Thank you.